I get up at 5 minutes after 1 o'clock. And some people will say, why don't you get up at one? And I say, well, because I like to sleep in. And that joke, by the way, got me the job on the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Well, I will miss it in a way, but I won't miss it a lot. I think I can get used to sleeping in a little bit longer, because actually I do that now 4 days a week, Saturday and Sunday, and of course Thursday and Friday, when I devote my time to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and I do newscast just 3 days a week. So I think getting used to getting up a little later won't be too difficult.
So now in your universe, is getting up a little later like, you know, you sleep till 3:30 or something like that?
Yeah, I used to, and I still do, and I will do this until the end of next Wednesday. I will be getting up at 1:05 after 1, and then work till around noon, go home, and take a 3.5-hour nap, and get up and spend the evening with my wife, and then take another 3.5-hour nap, get up at 1 o'clock again.
Now, I've been on mornings for about 3 years now, but I can already feel the distance that it can put between you and those around you because you're on this super early schedule. Can you talk about that and the impact of 30 years of being on that schedule has had on your personal life?
Not a bit, because my family is, they're used to it. They know that's what I do, and so they kind of work around it. And I try to make up for it by making myself available in the evening so that I can go to the movies with my wife or just stay at home and read and talk or any activity. Have dinner together. I've done that for so many years. It's just a part of our lives. We think nothing about it.
Now, when you started on Morning Edition 30 years ago, did you have any inkling at that time that 30 years later you'd be still doing it?
Well, you never know. I never thought about it that way. You just look at the job you're doing and looking at what it is, and look at your salary, of course. If somebody came along, say, 10 years ago and offered me $1 million, I'd have left in a heartbeat, you know? But I just came to NPR, and I liked the work. I liked the people I worked with, and I just stayed around. I did not go out looking for anything else.
Before I worked in radio, it would have never occurred to me to think about how an on-air personality's personal life might affect their ability to be consistent. Now, over the years, we've heard you as the steadfast Carl Castle in the mornings. Mm-hmm. Have there ever been points in time when, you know, life crops up on you and it just makes it a real bear to go in there and be you?
Not really. I've had a couple of tragedies in my life involving my family where I had to take some time off. But I came right back and tried to pick up where I left off without missing a beat, so to speak, and without having that affect my work.
Now let's shift gears just a bit. What is the mechanism for you putting your voice on someone's home answering machine for Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me?
Well, we let the winners write their own message, and then we collect a few. And when I go to Chicago, say, any Thursday afternoon, I usually go out to Navy Pier, where Chicago Public Radio is located. They give us room to work. And one of our staff members out there will say, let's record some messages. So we'll go to a small studio, and I'll record maybe a dozen phone messages that the winners have written. They're then transferred to a CD and mailed out to the winners.
So then the winners then have to take it upon themselves to get that onto their machine somehow.
And all they need is a youngster who knows computers. They can do it.
Now, this is probably a silly question, but is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me as fun as it seems? Because it seems like you guys just have a hoot every week.
The thing is, you don't hear all the show. We don't follow a clock when we do Wait, Wait. So there are a lot of things that are so funny, they wind up on the cutting room floor, so to speak, or the digital floor or whatever. The program is then edited. It goes for about an hour and 15 minutes or an hour and 20 minutes when we do it live, and that's edited and packaged for a one-hour program. So there's a lot that you don't hear, but it is just that fun, that much fun.
It's even more fun than we hear.
Oh, absolutely. And if you ever get a chance to see it, go and see it.
And that's not going to change in your life or schedule, right?
No, not a bit.
Any chance I can get a freebie home answering machine message while I got you? Little, hi, I'm Carl Castle, Mike Canary's not here.
You know, the bosses won't let me do that.
Oh, well, you know, I had to ask, Carl. I could have taken that off my bucket list right here, right now, without having to keep calling in. Okay, last question here, what do you look forward to most in your retirement?
Well, I'm not really retiring. I have to quote Dickie Smothers, whom I talked to several years ago about this. I said, "Dickie, I didn't know you retired. When are you retiring?" He said, "I'm not retiring. The people who work retire." And he says, "I don't consider what I do work. There's nothing to retire from." I have the same philosophy, and I'll keep doing what I'm doing until I get tired of it.
Carl Castle is NPR's longtime Morning Edition newscaster. He'll deliver his last newscast next week. He joined me from the studios of NPR in Washington. Carl, thank you so much for your time, and good luck in all things.
It's been a pleasure, Mike. Thank you, and a happy holiday to you.